Human, you are entering an improvised comedy show, restricted to humans only. Improv for Humans, with Matt Besser. Based on your suggestions and other sources of inspiration, Matt and guests will perform fully improvised scenes. Today's episode features Human guests, Andy Daly and Sean Conroy.
Welcome to Improv for Humans with Matt Besser, two of my old buddies. Sean, Andy, back in the saddle. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Ha!
2022.
If you say so.
Still improvising online, but keeping a good spirit about it. Now, one thing we all are doing is probably watching a fuckload of TV, right?
Correct.
And as Andy Daly just said off air, I can't believe you've told me about a documentary that I haven't seen. Like, I feel the same way. It's like, haven't I scrolled through all of them?
Mm-hmm. Haven't I looked up every list of the top 50 documentaries of the 21st century?
Do you watch the ones that you know just, it's at least half, that are just going to completely bum you out?
Yeah.
If you hear it's good, you don't care. You're like, I'm in it.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't care.
Isn't that kind of the point of the documentary? Like, you go two-thirds of the way through, and then there's a moment where it's like, oh, it turns out this is all really fucked up.
Yeah, I guess so. That's the point of every documentary.
Yeah,
it is. I don't know. I never expect the big twist, because I have seen enough documentaries that have ended like, no big deal.
So anyway, that guy cut the lawn every day for 25 years.
Oh, I got angry at one recently where they were setting this guy up the whole time. You're like, that guy definitely murdered. You're in for like three episodes of, I don't even got to watch anymore. That guy's so fucking guilty, he murdered. Then they get to the end, it's like, oh, he definitely didn't murder.
Yeah.
You're like,
that's not cool.
They manipulated the shit out of us.
That's not cool.
And if I had stopped watching that documentary, I would have walked away going, that guy totally did it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's like a mystery novel. You got to give me some clues, but it's not fair to completely misdirect me.
And keep stuff away from me.
Yeah.
That would have changed the story.
Anyway, it turned out it was a guy named Phil who lived next door. The end.
Hey, did you see the one about the hacker dude who was like, he said he was a Chelsea Manning whistleblower type guy, and maybe he was, and maybe he was being falsely accused of child pornography, and it just kind of keeps you hanging for the whole documentary.
And?
Well, I don't know if you wanted to hear a spoiler or not.
But is he innocent?
Well, that would be a bit of a spoiler.
I guess so, but it sucks to, if he's not. I mean, if he is, it sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. We cut to a sidewalk. Hey. Huh? You're that documentary fucking director.
Oh, yeah. What, are you mad at me? Why?
You don't recognize me?
Oh. Oh,
you
shit.
Motherfucker.
Oh, okay. All right. Look,
you made everybody think I was a murderer.
Yes.
Until the very end.
There's that murderer.
No.
You gotta watch. Hey, you gotta watch till after the credits.
Okay, I'm waiting for the bus.
That was the other thing. You give that other guy's confession in the like a Marvel tease at the very end of the credits. Who's gonna watch that?
Well, it wasn't originally there. And then, just like you're saying, I saw one of those Marvel movies and I was like, man, that's effective. Like, you're sitting there and you're like, this is over. I should be leaving the theater now. And then all of a sudden this thing comes on.
You're okay with just making people believe I was the murderer and you knew that the real murderer had confessed and was going to prison?
Just try to imagine it from my perspective. What if I just started a documentary off saying like, this guy committed the murder and it's the actual murderer, and then like, you know,
how
who's
about
invested
the point,
at that point
is that I was innocent, everybody blamed me that whole time.
I know, but it really looked like you did it. Like, it was very suspicious when you didn't answer the police's questions. And then it was really weird that you, like, coincidentally lost your phone, which would have, you know, proven where you were.
People lose their phone. That was, like, the only clue everyone had. They would chant at me as I walked down. You lost your phone! Haven't you lost your phone? That was the only supposed evidence against me is I lost my phone.
I never lost my phone on the same night that a murder happened. Or maybe I did. Who knows?
Of course you did.
Hey, who knows? Mr. Director, thanks for coming to see me in jail. I appreciate it.
No problem. I actually come to jail quite often.
Well, you're probably always on the prowl for some kind of new story, but... I just wanted to ask you about something, which is I'm pretty upset. I'm pretty disappointed because thing is, I'm locked up here in the murderers wing of the jail with all the murderers. I told him I was a murderer. I said, you can watch this documentary and see, you know, that it turns out I did it. I confessed and everything. Mm-hmm. The problem is they only show it on basic cable here in the prison. And because it's in the after credit sequence, it gets really squished down and they can't really, and it's sped up and it can't really see it. So nobody believes me. I'm like, I'm in this movie, I swear. So I'm wondering if there's a way you could.
We cut back to the moment in the prison where it's one of those rowdy kind of scenes in the cafeteria where there's a small TV in the corner. And everyone's watching it, and this guy's trying to pipe everybody down when that moment in the credits comes. Hey, yeah, man, we're gonna be doing
guys,
that. Yeah.
Guys, no, this is it's coming up. It's my scene. This is, I'm telling you.
Oh, the one you're always blabbing about?
Yeah, no,
you
no, no,
been
I know.
In this
no, no,
whole
this
thing.
Is, this is, yeah, they're saying about the director of photography here and all that stuff, but just.
Oh, yeah, there's your face. Everybody, shut up.
Coming up next, the wild card game. What Kansas the City versus the Rams.
God
damn it. 7 p.m.
We cut back. So anyway, I got shanked 14 times that day because they told me I was a liar.
They think that you are not a murderer, that you're an innocent man, and that you lied about being a murderer and were put in jail for falsely confessing, and that made them mad at you?
They don't know what's going on. Some of them think maybe I'm just part of the production thing at the end. In other words, the card that production companies use.
Oh, yeah.
To show
we cut
they...
to late at night inside one of the cells where when everybody's trading murder stories. And then I stabbed him right in the eye, and it made a cool sound.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
Your turn.
Yeah.
Murder story. You've never murdered anyone.
Oh, come on, man. I did. I was a murderer. That's why I'm in here. You think I'd just be hanging
out
in here?
Get out of here.
On. Didn't you see that scene at the end of the documentary we watched on TBS the other day?
Dude. That production card? That production company's vanity card?
How do you guys know so much about it? Production?
That's who I murdered, a producer.
I can't blame
you. Never
you
listen
that.
To my stories.
Yeah.
I murdered a network executive for not agreeing to allow me to have a vanity card at the end of my own show.
Oh, man, that is annoying.
Let's talk some more about that.
Am I imagining this? Do they sometimes split the card? Like you have to share?
Yeah,
you're
they
not,
do.
Right? Yeah. They do, right?
It's also a whole thing whether your card is going to have motion or not. Sometimes it's a static card, and sometimes it can move a little bit.
And it's Regent. Good news and bad news.
Oh, all right.
All right, we got the card.
Oh, you did?
We got the card. Nobody
amazing.
Else had the card.
No, I'm the only one with the card?
Yep, no half card. They were pushing a half card on us. I said no half card.
Thank you. I hate
that's
the half
the good
card.
News.
Oh, that's huge. All right, great.
All Let's, right. Bad yeah. news.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sitting down?
Yeah, but what do you think? I'm going to faint from the news?
Well,
I mean, I am sitting down, but I never understand
because
that.
Because I want you in a stationary spot because that's what your card's going to have to be.
What? What
Completely
is?
Completely not moving.
Oh, hang on.
Andy, I'm sorry. It can't.
No. I just need.
No,
I need literally a second and a half. A second and a half for a push in and a little bit of animation on my on the
All
Y.
Right.
Of
I
my
have
last
three
name.
Way you end a network really quick. Could you explain to them how quick? What exactly it's doing and how quick this wiggle can be, okay?
Because yes,
it's all about
you.
Time at the end. This is eating away from commercials.
That's such bullshit.
All right. Peter, do you have him on? Okay.
Hello, this is the head of the network. Hello.
Hi, Dexter.
Yes, hello. I'm very busy, so I hope
this is Rodney. I'm trying to close this deal.
Ah, yes, congratulations, excited. Rodney, on your full card.
I'm the agent out here with Andy, but he got the full card. And
thank
explain
you.
Explain what you want with the animation.
Hold on. I'm so
who
excited.
Who am I talking to? Is it the agent or is it? I'm confused.
I got us all on the same line.
It's a conference call. They confuse me too.
I always forget that they can do that now. Yeah.
It's amazing. Rodney is the agent, and it's me, Andy. Hey, so thank you so much for the full card. I'm so excited. But I just want you to
welcome.
Know, like,
all right. Well, good.
Wait.
No. It's quick. Just like this animated portion of the card's going to be, right, Andy?
Yeah. So you know how my last name ends in a Y?
We're doing a reboot. Sorry. Go ahead.
What? I just be real quick. I've always wanted it to be like a worm kind of slithers onto the screen and becomes the Y. And like, I've planned it out for years and years.
It doesn't slither all the way onto the screen. Let's say it starts on the screen, right, Andy? It doesn't just slither all the way onto the screen, right?
Yeah.
It's just a quick worm becomes Y.
Dexter, can you mute yourself or take yourself off? No, I mean, just I want a sidebar with Rodney real quick.
Well, I don't know.
Don't mute yourself. Oh, shit. Well, we'll get it back in a second.
What do you want?
Hey, who are you negotiating? Why are you negotiating with me? Who
it
are you working
like
for?
It sounds like a worm that crawls so slowly. It's going to start off screen, come on screen. Transform
it can move
into
fast.
A Y. That's like a minute and a half animation.
Yeah, but your job is to advocate my interests to Dexter, not to sit here and negotiate with me.
All right. I was just trying to make it happen.
Hello, baby.
Oh,
good to
Dexter.
Talk to you, Chuck. I'd love to get more into what your card's going to look like. We were thinking maybe we'd send a person to every house who's watching any one of your shows to hold up the card directly.
No, wait. It's not Chuck Lorre. It's not Chuck. This is Andy and Rodney again.
Oh, dear.
Andy and Rodney again. Wow, you have a whole different personality when you talk to Chuck Lorre. It sounds like
Chuck Lorre can wear the fuck he wants at the other show.
What's that?
He confesses murders in his credits. All right. Andy. I think I stepped on Andy's toes. He has a way to make this worm move really fast and become a Y.
Well, this phone call is costing the network $1 million a minute, so please, let's get to it.
Wow. Is that really what your time is worth? That's wild.
I'm very wealthy.
So, I see it as it starts with my name minus the letter Y, and you're like, what is that? Like, they spelled his name wrong and his title card.
Andy Dell.
Right. And then this worm just pops in from off screen and makes his way up to like right after the L. And at first it's like, why is there a worm there? And then he kind of turns himself into a Y shape and you're like, I get it. And the whole time it's that song, Baby Elephants. The Baby Elephant song.
Yes, I'm not familiar with that.
I'm sure that's public domain, so at least that won't be a problem.
Yeah.
So you're really bringing something fresh to the table. Look, I have to catch a flight to space in a couple of minutes, so...
Crap on Netflix.
So there's this documentary I guess it came out in 2017, named Voyeur or Voyeur.
Voyeur.
There's a writer for The New Yorker, longtime guy from decades and decades ago, probably still writes for him, Gay Talese. What an awesome name. But anyway, he followed this guy.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, I think he is. And he was in 2017. And he had a correspondence with this, you know, this perverted voyeur who ran a motel and through the grates in the ceiling would walk in the attic and spy on everybody. He did it for a long time. And he told Gay Talese, I'll tell you all this is going on, but you can't write about it until I'm done with it or until I give you permission. So it wasn't until, you know, the 2000s when. Anyway, that's the whole documentary. Very interesting. But I found true hilarity in this one scene that you don't even really have to watch the rest of the documentary for. But this guy is taking Gay Talese into his home and showing him around all the things he collects. He's showing him his gun collection, and we'll just start there.
When you had a motel, you used to carry guns.
Oh, yeah. I carry guns all the time.
The entire basement area. You think you're in a museum.
So we're looking at this basement filled with, it's a pretty big basement, and it's filled with binders, filled with binders, and what looks like could be 45s or old records.
I was gonna say, it looks like a record store, yeah.
Yeah, there's a glass display case in the middle that looks like you would only find that in a store of some kind.
And there's baseball cards on top, mm-hmm. and there's posters, so it's filled with this. But also, this guy's voice, not Gay Talese, the voyeur, who does he sound like? He sounds like something. It's like a John Goodman character, but someone more specific. Let's go.
How many cards in your total collection?
About 2 to 3 million.
Cards?
Cards. There's a million cards right there I've never even looked at.
Jeez. You
know? I don't even know what's in there.
One of the reasons he wanted to divulge his story, because he could press attention and he could brag about his collection of sports memorabilia, and he wanted to sell it.
These cards down here are going to make us multimillionaire, just the cards themselves. Now this card, the Mickey Mantle card, it's worth anywhere from
Brimley?
$200 to $1 million. And I once had over 1,000 of them.
He has these prices he keeps quoting, and I don't know, is this guy nuts? But on the other hand, I don't know. I'm not a collector.
This card here could be worth 500 grand.
Oh my God.
Maybe more.
And who is it? How do I know what these things are worth? How do I know if this guy is totally exaggerating? I don't know. If I reflect that he's a braggart, then it might reflect on all that I believed of what he saw.
The thing you got to know in life is when to make a choice and when not to make a choice.
Mm. I can definitely testify to the accuracy of the room, the attic. I know that was, I saw it, I was there.
Okay, you can freeze it. That's pretty much that part. But Gay Talese's point is, if this guy is exaggerating, lying about baseball cards, maybe this whole thing is an exaggeration and a lie. That was more the point of that part.
Isn't the New Yorker famous for its fact checking?
Yeah,
they like
that's what happens, my friend.
Aha!
Does that verify 2/3 of the way through the movie?
Yep, it sure does.
Aha! Uh-huh. So it what do we
sure
find
does.
Out? It's an entire basement full of forgeries.
His story's true, but maybe not as deep and fantastical as he's spinning is what and he has, there's so many inaccuracies that it makes the whole story seem fucked up and bullshit.
Hmm. I think, the shade of his beard and hair requires some fact checking.
Nah.
That's one of those,
But man, I wanted to talk about the collectibles. So you're down there, and so this made me think. I used to collect baseball cards from like 1975 to 1982. And when he's when that part where he's like, I haven't even opened these. What he means by that is that's what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to open them so they stay in mint condition, right? And I did that to 2 years of baseball cards. And when he said that, I was like, we're getting up on 40 years of my baseball cards. And so I looked them up. And the prices he's talking about, that was made in 2017. For some reason, during the pandemic, collectible baseball cards and all that bullshit has blown up. It probably is worth that. If that was a Mickey Mantle that was gym condition, it is worth what he just said. Now, if it's worth gym conditions, another thing. But I have behind me, I have a Ricky Henderson baseball card. And when I saw, I just happened to see it on the internet or something like this goes for, I'm like, wait a minute, I have that. And I looked it up. Renee, how much does that cost? How much does that just auction off for?
Sure. So they're saying, and this isn't mint condition, but they're saying it'll start at $180,000.
What?
I might that's have 19, that. That's 1980.
For your Ricky Henderson card?
Mine isn't mint condition.
Oh.
So that means it's never been pulled out of the box, right? Ricky but Henderson. But even that's his rookie card, right? But they have different grades. Like even a grade 9, which is right below the gym or whatever, it's still worth a lot. It's not 100,000, but it's definitely in the thousands.
It's like when you drive a car off the lot, it immediately loses 20% of its value, but it's still the same car in the same condition.
Except for Mercedes go up in price.
Ricky Henderson's still playing, by the way, I think.
I had Ricky Henderson cards, maybe
he
not
did the play till he was like 50 something, I think.
Yeah.
So but I have two of those mint condition, never been opened. That's not the year that Ricky Henderson's in. So then I go and I'm like, holy shit.
Who's in there?
If there's any.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So happens. Rich. So listen to this sad collector story.
Oh no.
I have 1981 and 1982. If you look up, I don't know anything about baseball cards until I read these articles. But apparently that's the year that two other companies were allowed to start doing baseball cards. It was Topps before then. Then Fleer and Donruss joined in and flooded the market. So anything from 1981 on has much less value.
Yeah.
I have 1981 and 1982.
Ah! Oh man.
Which still has cards in it. They're supposedly worth like $1,000, but they're not like that Ricky Henderson thing.
That's what happens with the free market, shit. Man.
Damn. Yeah.
My dad always says he had the Mickey Mantle cards and everything, and his mom just threw them out when he went to college. And it's just like
that's the classic.
His mom Ricky hated Ricky Mantle.
With this Ricky Henderson, at least in the articles I read, they're like, there hasn't been gym mint found or very, doesn't that just seem impossible? Like weird? It's only 1980.
Right. But also it has to be, I mean, I had a billion baseball cards when I was a kid and I got them and fucking opened them, ate the bubble gum and started trading them and flipping them and playing with them and using them and whatever. And that's what you did with baseball cards. It wasn't until after that period that people were like, hold on. The good thing. I mean, that guy said, my sense was not only that he hadn't opened them, he hadn't even looked at those cards. Like, in other words, it was just buying something that he didn't know what it is without looking at it because in the future, it might be worth a lot of money. And that was not my headspace when I was 11 years old.
Mine neither. And I went from 74 to 79 having fun and doing it the kid way. And then all of a sudden.
But you figured it out.
It was for Christmas or my birthday. My parents just got me that. And it was like, oh, I got them all.
Don't you?
And then I completely lost joy.
Don't you have to buy them in packs, though? So, like, you wouldn't know what's in there until you open it?
That's the true joy. But at some point, you could buy the whole year in a set.
Oh, I see.
Right.
That's what he was pointing to.
Little packets, little plastic packets yes. of like 10 cards at a time with a right. big piece of bubble gum in there.
That's what I did.
Sean really liked the gum.
Gum is yeah. great. That was the whole point. It was like very crunchy and hard. And
it was very unable. Hard.
Yeah, yeah.
I had Star Wars cards. That I had, yes. I never had baseball cards, but I had Star Wars cards, and I have them. I have like almost a complete set of Star Wars cards. Like,
do they look nice?
One or two. I mean,
because I bet those are worth something. No, if they're nice.
When I've looked up, like, what is it worth if it's opened and, you know, been messed with by a kid a whole bunch, and it's like nothing.
It's like 35
everybody
bucks.
Hung on yeah. to their fucking Star Wars cards.
Do you have Ricky Henderson on Tatooine?
Yeah, the first year he was in the Jedi Academy.
He would just swing that lightsaber. Just fucking wouldn't parry with it. Full yeah, baseball he, swing.
He'd swing three lightsabers.
I had those too. I really? Love Planet of the Apes.
Well, of course it was from the original movies. It was the 70s, but yeah. Like Charlton Heston and shit.
Wow.
Wow. That's cool.
That's so funny.
It's not cool.
Of course, Danielle, my wife, is. You sell those. So it's one thing to have them, it's another thing. To actually, it's like, what? I don't want to go through whatever that is to sell my Ricky Henderson card.
I do hate selling things. Yeah, I hate that.
Into a store right now with your Star Wars collection.
Mm. Hey there. How's it going?
Can you keep it down?
Oh, sorry. I'm just kind of excited because... today's kind of a big day. Ever since I was 6 years old, I've been hanging on to these.
I was 6 years old, I've been hanging on to these, and now the day has come. Yeah, we get that every day, dude. That's everybody's story. Okay, yeah. So what do you got? Put them out on the counter.
Listen, I just want you to know I'm going to be very, very patient with your lack of social skills. I think it comes with the territory of doing what you do for a living, and I appreciate it.
Yep.
Anyway, take a look at this shoebox full of Star Wars cards, original Star Wars cards.
Just so you know, just by putting cards in a shoebox, that already takes them down a grade because they smell like shoes.
Yeah, but brand new shoes. I mean,
still, you didn't collect Star Wars. The world doesn't smell like shoes, so it
that's
takes
funny.
Away.
Can I be? I thought what was going to happen here was partly that you were going to go, oh my God, I'll give you $100,000 for the shoebox itself. Because look at the shoebox. These were 1977 Pumas.
Mm. Before arch support was invented. I remember that.
Yeah. This was a great pair of shoes.
All right. Enough reminiscing.
Yeah.
Take them out because I'm not going to be responsible for any damage that happens removing them from the box.
Wow. You are really detail oriented. Yeah. Just as I say, it comes with the territory of what you do for a living. It's crazy. Okay. Here we go. Check it out. I put them in order as best I could.
Okay. You're using your hands without rubber gloves. That's going to take them down another grade. There's acids on your skin that are, as we speak, eating into those cards.
No, they look fine. Look, they look fine. Front and back looks
fine.
Naked
eye.
What?
Jimmy, bring the microscope out of here.
Okay, boss.
Yeah, but that's not, who would look at them in a microscope? You're going to,
people like me that grade collectible cards.
Here you go, boss. What's going on?
Another dreamer in here.
Check these out. Almost a complete set of 1977 Star Wars cards.
Counts in horseshoes and fucking bullshit flea markets.
But this is huge. You don't understand. I've hung on to these all these years. Who does that?
It smells like Pumas in here.
It does. It reeks of Puma.
Yeah, but
all
brand
right.
new.
Speaking of which, can you get the jizz detector too?
Okay, boss.
Just a
black light. Just a black light. Nothing to worry about.
Sorry. There's no possible way that there would be jizz on these Star Wars cards.
You've had them since when? What age? 1970.
I was six, but they...
You had them through your teen years?
Yeah, but why would I do that?
Were they underneath the bed, the same place you stashed your porno mags?
maybe for some of those years.
Get the black light.
Okay. Hey, you'd be surprised. New England Journal of Medicine says 7 out of 10 Star Wars cards have jizz on them, turns out.
Oh, jeez. Isn't that something? This guy can quote that statistic. You guys are
hockey cards are covered in them, believe
fascinating.
Me.
Hockey cards are?
Oh, yeah. I won't even accept hockey cards.
Yeah, don't get him started on hockey cards. He goes on.
Get the
and
fuck
on.
Out of here with your jizz covered hockey
just
cards.
Immediately get the. He presses the button and gets him the fuck out.
That's really strange. Oh, this is one of those places where you have to press a button for me to leave?
Yeah, yeah. Well, people come in sometimes and they're like, hey, give me everything in the register.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's robbery. What it was originally meant for.
Oh. Okay. So, anyways, I would really at this point just love to, for you to like, whatever you do, open up the cash register and give me, I'm thinking, it's got to be like $500,000.
Okay, like I'm that. Just a collectible guy. I'm not really a Star Wars freak. So can you just run through the characters you got here and what makes them special while I look them up on the old computer here?
Well, I mean,
yeah, tell us about the Star Wars characters that you have there.
It's almost a complete set of cards. It's stills. I mean, some of these are behind the scenes stills that are not even in the movie. Some of these, look at this one. This is concept art. This is concept art.
Hmm.
One of these cards. And then on the back, you can assemble.
Is that tomato sauce?
On this?
You want me to get the tomato sauce detector, boss?
Yeah.
You guys invested in a tomato sauce
while you went through your Star Wars cards, did you?
At some point,
I'm
sure.
Am I going to find cereal milk all over this?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I was a kid. And
for collectors, the only kind of food residue we accept is gum, and that adds worth.
Oh, I definitely chewed up all the gum out of these. That's for sure.
Amen,
I remember
brother.
That gum.
That's the only thing we all can agree on. That's
yeah, it's like a piece of plywood. But if you turn the cards over on the back, it makes a puzzle.
All right, you jamming together and a puzzle's taking off worth.
Sounded to me like you didn't even think that was funny.
I don't know if it's funny, but it's cool. It's interesting.
All right, buddy, tell you what. We will buy these. Just get them off your hand. But just tell me just what cards do you not have? You seem to be aware of not having certain cards. Which ones?
Yeah, there's certain cards. I have no cards with pictures of Luke Skywalker.
What? Isn't that like the... That's like the Babe Ruth. You gotta have that.
I don't know. He just doesn't appear in my card set at all. And neither does Princess Leia. But other than that...
Did you get ripped off as a kid? What happened?
I would
assume that would have been in every set.
Yeah, but I was more of a robots guy, so I would have traded away my Luke and Leia's for just as many of these droid cards as I could get my hands on.
Hey, boss.
Yeah.
I don't know if Luke Skywalker is really the Babe Ruth of the Star Wars universe. I would say he's more like the Luke Gehring. You know, like he's dependable, he's solid. Once he's there, he's going to stay for a long time. But Han Solo is really the guy who stands out the way Ruth did.
Yeah. You're true. And you saying that makes me feel that I can't accept this without those two cards. You're going to go have to find those kids that you used to know and make this trade back.
Bing bong.
Yes.
Hey, remember me?
I certainly don't.
Oh, Andy Daly. We used to live together across the street from each other on Ellington Road.
Yes, I do have a vague memory of you. You... used to do terrible things at Halloween to my house.
Oh, yeah. We would TP and shaving cream and...
Yes, I remember quite well.
Jam stuff in the tailpipe of your dad's car. Remember that time that it burst into flame on Halloween morning? That was funny.
Yes.
Hey, but wait. That's not what I'm here to talk about. Remember we used to trade Star Wars cards?
Yes, I do. I have a clear recollection of that.
Okay, I need to get those back. The Luke and Leia cards in particular.
Well, you can certainly do that, but what you'll have to do is take the in-ground swimming pool from my backyard that I bought with the funds I got from selling those cards and bring it back to the place I sold them and get the money and so on and so forth. It's going to be very difficult. I've sold them.
Let's talk more about collectibles.
So have you guys held on to anything?
But nothing I've held on to has any value.
There's this new toy. I had some in-laws in, and they were excited to go to the LA store of, what's it called? It's called like Frozen something, or I don't know if you can help Renee, but it's a new collectible. And did you guys see the Beanie Baby documentary?
No.
Another good documentary about how the worth of Beanie Babies went up.
Turns out there's no beans.
But huh. They came to town and they're like, we want to get a Frobo, or whatever the fuck it's called. And I'd never heard of it. And you can only get them at the Frobo store. So we went to the Fro, whatever. It's across from Amoeba Records. There's a clue. And then they get the home with box. It. You crank it and he CNN? Pops out.
Is it the CNN headquarters?
So they crank it and it pops out.
No, that's the Jack in a Box. But they get home with the Frobos or whatever they're called. I can't wait to hear how off I am. And they don't take it out of the box. They're like, I got this kind of Frobo, and I got this kind of Frobo. And then they wouldn't take it out of the box. I was so bummed out.
Because they want to save it to make more money later, basically.
Yes, because that's where what their the dad fuck? Has put their head.
Yeah.
And and Sydney took hers out of the box. And then the younger of the two's like, well, I want to take mine out of the box. And I just want to go, these are not going to have any value. Yeah. This is not my Ricky Henderson rookie card.
I see Renee has put in the chat, Funko.
That's it. Funko Pops.
Funko Pops.
Funko Pops.
Oh, I've heard of that. I know where that place is, but I didn't know what that was. I thought it was like some kind of
food. Right?
Yeah.
Right. Sounds like something you eat.
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's Sean walks in.
Hi.
Welcome to Funko Pop.
Thank you. Thank you. You can take it down a notch immediately. I'm starving. So can I just get two Funko Pops?
Oh, sir, it is a hot summer day, but we get this a lot. You can't eat Funko Pops. They're just for fun. They're going to have valuable worth one day. So they're in a box, and you take them home and think about that.
I don't understand. I'm walking along Hollywood Boulevard. It's very hot outside. I'm doing a tour on my own, an audio tour, and there's a lot of fascinating places here.
Yeah, there's a lot of lonely audio tours that walk by Funko Pops.
Look, don't throw shade on how I choose to spend my Saturday afternoon.
Sorry, I'm a teenager. Just a sec, I need to talk to my boss. I'm sorry, sir, Mr. Brown. We got another person think it's like it's some kind of popsicle or something. Can I just tell him it is? He seems so lonely and sad. Seems like he needs anything.
I think he would really regret eating one of these. I mean, it's all plastic, and it's, by the way, these are fairly toxic, even just to handle.
But look at him. He's on an audio tour by himself, and you know there's not much on Hollywood Boulevard to talk about once you get to Hollywood and Vine.
A walking audio tour of Hollywood?
He's no, gonna just Hollywood Boulevard.
He's going to get stabbed.
Did you know this is where the Black Dahlia caught the bus to where she was murdered?
Wow.
Cool. Look at that.
That's very cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just do whatever. Anything to put a smile on this guy's face, please. Tell him it's
I'll wrap it in something like a hot dog would be wrapped.
Yeah. Just, I mean, he'll be disappointed later, but the look on his face when you give it to him and tell him it's whatever his favorite flavor is, that's going to be worth it, I think.
Okay, sir, I got you a chocolate Funko Pop in back.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. Here's $10. Just keep it. Keep the change.
Actually, these are $45. Because these are tourist collector items. You know what? Forget about it. I'll take it out of my own salary. You just look great. So lonely.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy, but don't wait till you get outside to eat it.
We cut to 10 minutes later. Hi, it's me again.
Oh, I just, no.
Yes, I was right down the street, the corner there where they've shot 11 episodes of NCIS. Have you? Do you know that?
I saw that plaque. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I waited till I was there to open my Funko Pop, and I opened it. And I think there's been a mistake, because it seems like this is the Funko Pop you put in the window as a display to entice people. And it stays there, and you can leave it there forever because it's synthetic, as opposed to the actual organic Funko Pop, which is what I wanted to cool my thirst and quench my heated soul.
Dude, I used to feel sorry for you, but now you're just some asshole complaining.
Whoa. Fuck you.
Hey, fuck you.
Whoa. What's going on in here?
This guy wants to fuck me.
So?
So?
He's trying to put a smile on your face like everybody else in this
Look,
city.
I came in here I for said, a snack.
By the way, I said fuck you. I would never say fuck to a customer. Well, I said fuck,
we're supposed. It's
you.
A corporate thing. We're supposed to say fuck you to our customers.
That seems like a bad corporate policy because it can easily be misunderstood and cause all sorts of repercussions.
Wow. Take that up with corporate. They're in Tokyo.
Yeah. The owners of Fuddruckers.
Yeah.
I hate that place.
Let's talk more about collectibles.
So, Brett, I know you have some of your old vinyls. Which of your records is vinyl records are worth something now? Which of yours is worth the most? People don't care about gem condition with vinyl.
Okay. I have some old records, but they're really, I don't know if they're rare. Like one of them I really like is just I think it's like a Eric Burdon record, but it's all warped to shit. Like I don't have any of the like great original condition, you know.
I have an Eddie Murphy picture disc. You guys don't have that?
Oh, nice.
No.
It's a picture of him, I'm assuming, in a leather suit of some sort.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have on vinyl the first song that Sinead O'Connor ever recorded, I think. It's a single that she made with The Edge.
Really?
Called Heroin. Yeah.
I have a bunch of Roger Miller old records that are very, like, dusty. I don't know. My parents probably have better records.
I have on vinyl a Ricky Henderson interview from...
I wonder why it is that the Ricky Henderson one was so coveted. I remember thinking that even at the time because I was a big fan. But there was something about his baseball card.
What was he? He was on the A's? That was his first
team? He was on the A's. Yeah, incredible.
I was curious too. And all I read was just how great he was. And I felt like, couldn't you say that about a bunch of people? Like, is that?
Something about his rookie card.
I expected there to be a flaw, but I guess there's not many examples of that in later times.
When I was a kid, I used to read, the only thing I would read in my teen years was novelizations of movies that I liked. That was like all I read. And so I was recently thinking about the novelization of Halloween, which I really enjoyed as a kid. So I thought, let me Google it. And you can buy it. But for like $750, which I was like,
because it was just never reprinted because it was such bullshit.
It went out of print in the 80s and it's still a desirable thing because it's, you know, horror fans would want to read it. But so I'm always on the other end of it because I would have bought that. I would have bought if it was like if I could get it for $5, I would have bought just to. For old time's sake, reread the novelization of Halloween.
By the way, it's funny that you mentioned novelizations because I did a book report in fourth grade on the novelization of Star Wars, and it was an oral report. And my visual aid was a piece of construction paper with all my Star Wars cards stuck to it so that I went through the whole story with each of them, you know?
An early PowerPoint.
Yes.
That seems like such a cheat for a book report.
Yeah.
Just the cool movie that everyone's seen.
Oh, I cheated my way through elementary school.
You beat everybody to the... Because you wouldn't even have to read it.
Right. Although there were two scenes in the book, I remember, that were not in the actual movie. Like, I think they...
Okay, Sean, and yeah. I get this for the last couple of years. So people trying to just watch the movie and pretend they read the novelization. Okay. But what I have found and discovered is that there are two scenes in the novel that were not in the movie. So we'd like to hear a detailed report on those two scenes. I hope you know about them.
Oh, you're talking about the things that we didn't see in the movie, but they were in the novel. I call it a novel, not a novelization, because I feel like it's a novel.
That's where it became novel.
Mr. Besser?
Yes.
So I feel like you're not considering the rest of the class, because if you're asking us to listen to a report that is specifically about scenes that are not in Star Wars, that's the exact opposite of what we would hope to hear from this report.
Okay. Are you the one kid in the world who hasn't seen Star Wars? I assume you guys already knew what was going on.
Well, actually, I was going to see it, but then Sean said that he was going to do his report on it, and I prefer to hear Sean describe the novelization of Star Wars as my first experience of Star Wars.
It's cool.
Than to actually see the movie.
And I do all the voices, like, hey, Luke, look out, you know, like I do.
Wow.
Impressions.
What scene was that?
There was a scene where the guy says to Luke, look out, because it's like something bad is about to happen. You know?
I feel like you're beating around the bush here and you don't know the two original scenes that are in the Star Wars novel.
I could tell you a million scenes that were not in the movie. You know, there's so many scenes that weren't in the movie.
But you're talking about scenes from other books, like For Whom the Bell Tolls were not in the Star Wars movie.
Sure, those were not in the Star Wars movie. I mean, I think there was not even a consideration of that. There was no moment where... You know, they were like, George Lucas was like, hey, what if we put in a scene here where, you know, there's a bullfight?
Well, it pretty much were bullfights, but okay. Have you or have you not read this book? You seem to not want to tell us those two great scenes.
I guess I just feel like if I say those scenes, then even the kids who've seen the movie will have nothing to look forward to when they read the novelization. Also, I feel like, and I may be out of line here, Mr. Besser, but I feel like a book report shouldn't be just dictating back the plot of what happens in the book. It should be more about thematic ideas.
We cut to about a week later. Hey, everybody, Sean's doing a report on Jaws next to the swing set.
Well, I didn't know you could do movies. It's supposed to be a book report.
It got recently made into a book.
Oh, wow.
He's just doing it at the swing set. All right.
He's just doing it, man. This is a naked lady at the beginning. We cut to the swing set. Oh, he hasn't started yet. Oh, we're here, Sean.
Hey, guys, are you here for the book report on Jaws?
Yeah. Jaws? Yeah, yeah, buddy.
Yeah. So... Okay, so in the book, we open on nighttime. It's a shot of the moon, and the moon is shining down on the water. And there's
Wait a minute. What do you mean? It's a shot of the moon? How can you have a shot of the moon in a book?
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. Like where they have, like, you know, it's very visually described.
Did you read a book or just a script? This sounds like some bullshit script.
Look, do you want to hear? Do you want to hear the report or not?
Yeah, I want to hear the report of the novel of Jaws, and I want to know, like, what is this girl's deal in the beginning? Like, what motivates her? What's her backstory?
Okay, I'm getting
what are
to
her
that.
I'm hopes and dreams off. For her future?
So she's in the water. You see her splashing around. We push in, and we see that her...
You can't push in a book!
We'll be right back.
talk some more about that.
The first trouble I ever got in that I can remember was drawing the poster of Jaws in the third grade and drawing big bosoms. For the naked lady. The lady's bosoms were as big as Jaws. Jaws coming up was as big as her boobies going down.
Oh man.
Was that an issue with proportion that you had, or was that a joke of
a matter of focus?
I've often not questioned my memory, but analyzed, I guess, wondering myself, did I think I was going to get away with it, or was I trying to be funny? Because she told my mom, like, it was clearly disturbing to the teacher.
Yeah.
I'm drawing big boobies in class. But that was like on the poster, right? Is that on the public poster?
It seems like you were making a joke, right? Like you were going like,
I don't know.
You were pushing the envelope a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't a troublemaker, so that's why I questioned until later in school. But at that point, I was a good little boy. So I'm amazed that I would do that unless I thought it was no problem with it, which really there should be no problem with it.
Yeah. But if a woman has breasts as large as a great white shark, that's not a problem.
It's not a problem if she's fine with it.
Why are we body shaming either the woman or the shark?
He can't help how great white he is.
I'm going to look up the Jaws poster because I think there might not really be a hint of boobs on there. I mean, it was a public poster in the 70s.
Yeah, you must be right. But then it's where would I have gotten
right?
that
like
from?
She's swimming on the surface and the shark is underneath her?
She's swimming on the surface, yeah.
Oh, wait.
Wouldn't it be funny if there's different versions of it for where you are in the country?
Is it this one?
Oh, wow.
No,
that's not what I'm thinking. That's a cool shot, though.
Yeah,
I thought there was one. Oh, no, it's this one down here where she's swimming across the water. See?
Right.
This?
See, you see her boobs.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. That's French. That's the one from France.
Find another one. There's other ones that not from France here.
Let's get the one they put up in Alabama.
That one over there. All right, you know where I'm pointing. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That's American all through
You're
and
right.
through.
She's naked.
How can I not draw that as a kid?
Yeah.
Just because I can't draw well.
Yeah. Huh. That's interesting. That in that, you could put a naked lady on a poster in the 70s.
I would like to see the French version of Jaws, too. You know?
Sacre bleu!
Cinq cents hommes en sur la mer.
Vous requirez en vaisselle grande.
Excuse me, I don't speak French, but I'm an American. I was just on the beach, and I think there's like a shark out there. You gotta blow a whistle or something.
Parlez-vous français?
No, that's what I'm saying. I do know that. I do not parlez-vous français. English, no français. There's a shark out there. You guys gotta blow a whistle warning.
I speak English. I can talk to this man. Je ne parle pas anglais. Je n'aime pas les Américains.
I'm sorry, sir. You say you speak English?
Yes, very well. Jacques and I study English in our English class in the school for many years.
But there's a situation. There's people in the water. I see. And I saw.
Do you know checkers? It's a game. We learn about this in our English class.
Oui, je n'aime pas les checkers.
Jacques speak English, but he don't like, so he very much refuse.
I feel you're talking down on American checkers, and that's fine.
Pas anglais pour moi. Je n'aime pas l'anglais.
He says he does not like to speak English or be English, or he's very disappointed in England.
Okay. Oui, hey, I'm not from français. England. I'm from America, and there's a shark.
You're not from
here. Je n'aime pas les États-Unis. Yes. Et je n'aime pas l'Angleterre.
He says, if you're from the United States, why are you talking like you're from England?
I hate it when people say that. You guys don't always understand. The accent is what I find. I've been accused of being from Australia, too. I had a waiter say, no, you're from Australia before.
Je
anyway.
N'aime pas l'Australia.
He says you're from Australia.
Guys, shark, teeth, shark, death. That's going to happen in the waters. There's French people out there.
Yes,
en français.
He's saying, say it in French.
I don't know how. Why don't you say it in French?
Le Google Translate?
I don't even get reception out here, you asshole.
Oh, yes. Oh, we should have internet reception here on the beach.
You're lifeguards. This is your job. Do you not see what's going on? Look where I'm pointing.
American, I tell you what, I'll break my rule one
there
time.
There you go.
I'll speak your dirty.
Chuck is speaking English.
I will only speak this stupid, ugly language to tell you if you want to come to French Beach and tell people something that is happening on French Beach, you will learn French, the language, to speak it in the language of France. Otherwise, you shut up.
I'm trying.
He is saying
nice
if you
guy.
Come to France and you want to say something that is happening on a French beach, you have to learn to say it in French.
I understand that. That's bullshit. I get that attitude at your restaurants, but this I'm trying to save lives here, and that means you understand what's happening anyway, and you're not doing anything.
Checkers is a fun game.
It's pretty good, but it's not as good as chess, which, as far as I know, was invented in France.
What the fuck is going on?
Do you know that, like, apparently this is a really great time for sharks? Like, shark populations are booming right now. Which is, like, it's a bad time for people.
Yeah, I know there was a shark attack in L.A. within the last few months.
My family goes on vacation every summer down in Virginia Beach, and from my cousins from all over the country, lots and lots and lots of people. And apparently, there's lots of sharks around there at this point. And so, every couple of months, I get an email from one of my cousins that's just drone footage of like 50 sharks 4 feet off the beach that we usually go to down there, you know?
Oh, God.
It's like,
and would they definitely bite you if you walked out there?
Not necessarily. I think that's just chance, you know? Do they notice you? Are they hungry? Are they the kind of shark that, like, is into human flesh, or are they vegetarian? Like, there's a million reasons why they might not.
Vegetarian sharks.
I don't trust this guy. I think we should get another tour guide. I think he's making up vegetarian shark.
I think you're right. I'm gonna Google that right now, but I don't want to.
I don't know if we feel comfortable walking out in the waves today.
Oh, it's
tour.
It's fine. It's fine. Just. The thing to do is just kick your feet as you go along. Just kick up as if you're marching. And
more than usual?
What's that?
I feel I always kick up when I'm walking through the waves. I'm not comfortable with this. I think we should not walk through the waves.
I have no idea what your walking style in the waves is. I've never been around you before. So if you do ordinarily kick up, just you're fine. You know, because what that'll do is that'll startle a shark. And they'll probably swim away.
I'm just nervous. I'm not going to do it right. And I don't want that to be the reason I get bit or my.
But it shouldn't be a problem as long as you do it right, you know?
Can I ask, have you ever been bitten by a shark yourself?
Oh, sure. Sure. Bit him right back.
No, seriously, though.
No, I have. I purposely put myself in a position to be bitten by a shark because chances are if you've been bitten by a shark once, it's probably not going to happen again. I mean, just statistically. So I figured if I get it out of the way.
They're not even saying that about the virus.
I'm basically immune to what? What are you talking about? What virus?
Oh, no. We need to get another tour guide. He's one of those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just doesn't feel safe.
Do you know, is there another tour company?
What are you doing?
Huh? I don't know where else to ask. He at least knows the business.
You can't like some, ask the competitor where we're going.
You know what? Yeah, there's lots of other tour companies. Do they give you as good a tour? No. Are they as nice as people's? No. Are they as comfortable being around other people? No. Are they friendly like I am? No. Do they tell you to march into the water and not worry about the sharks? No. Do they give you that advice about vegetarian sharks I gave you? No. But sure, if you want to get the yellow pages, you can find another tour company.
Yellow pages?
Yeah.
Hey, jeez. All right, but that, like, I'm just asking, like, as a guy in this business, is there one of these companies that you look at and you go, oh, well, that's the gold standard? You know what I mean?
Why would he point that out?
Well, I don't know. Like, if...
Sir, you don't have to point out your competitor that you're aiming
every at. Morning, I wake up and go into the bathroom and look in the mirror and say, that is the gold standard in the beach tour business.
Really?
Yes.
I don't believe you.
Help!
Oh, no! What happened?
We weren't moving. It got a hold of my leg.
See, you got to kick up your feet because otherwise they're going to think you're... You know,
it's just... got my foot.
Well.
What do you do in this case? This shark.
This is great. This is actually great because this means as we continue the tour, you're not going to get bitten again.
And scene, humans. This has been Improv for Humans. We are better than sharks. Even if they're rebounding and trying to kill us.
Ooh.
We will find ways.
It feels like that Earth. Has something to do with global warming, right? Like, isn't there something that has to be environmental with the sharks?
Andy?
I don't know. I was thinking it was pandemic related. Like, nope. I don't
know
how.
They're not being fished for?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's it.
Sushi restaurants are taking them off the menu.
That's it. Can't get any shark fin soup. Nobody wants to go indoors to eat it. And
we
nobody's
went
making
to
it at home.
Katsuya for Danielle's birthday.
Nice.
And when the waiter came to the table and we're about to order, he goes, there's a lot of items that are not on the menu. There are not as many items because we're closing in a couple of days.
What? Katsuya's closing?
The one in at the Glendale Mall.
Oh, you're kidding me.
I know.
Ooh. That's a bummer.
That was sad. There's many restaurants closing everywhere, unfortunately.
There's one right over here on Hollywood Boulevard that was on the Hollywood tour.
That was on the Hollywood tour.
Oh, yeah.
That's what my waiter said. He goes, well, they still have that one. I'm like, oh, great. I got to go to
that one's good. Funko I like it Pop.
Yeah. I'm worried about that mall because the movie theater at that mall closed down too, right?
Jesus. Really?
Boy. Yeah.
That's a major movie theater.
I know.
Ugh. All right. I'm glad we ended the show on a happy note.
The collapse of a great American mall. Like Domino's, those stores are going down.
Can you imagine if you bought
not be
an
at
apartment?
Sketchfest this year?
Yeah. Or a national cowboy poetry gathering.
So I'm so for real?
Yeah.
Were you doing that?
No, I wasn't gonna do it. But
that sounds like something that would happen that you'd be invited to.
No.
That sounds good. Mm-hmm. When this all got shut down, I was about to go South by Southwest. And now I'm about to go by South by Southwest again. Is it going to happen?
When is it supposed to happen?
Mid-March.
Yeah, it's on.
50-50.
It's happening.
Okay.
We will all have had Omicron by then.
My family has. Have you guys?
No. I mean, if we had tests lying around, I would take one today. I don't feel bad, but I feel like I would take one. So, I don't know, maybe I do have it, but not that I'm aware of.
I almost didn't go back to New York at Christmas time because I was like, if I go and everybody's just getting sick the whole time, it's just going to kind of suck. But I went, and that's exactly what happened. Like, my entire, like, all my brothers, their kids, everybody was just dropping like flies the whole time.
And you going. Did not?
No.
Wow. Good job, Sean.
Yeah. Well.
Really good job.
Thank you. Yes. That's why I think this shit is not
real. That's how people get complimented these days. We're getting treated like we're dirty, and it was weeks ago.
Oh,
Brett's treating me like I'm a dirty boy.
That was a problem, man. I had a friend who got sick very early on, like right at the beginning of the whole thing, and there was a whole outbreak in his area, and it's you know, a place where everybody kind of knows each other. And there was a lot of like phone calls being made and who's to blame and whose fault is this and all this stuff.
Who's and to blame?
He was just like, what the fuck? Yeah. Mm-mm.
Do you guys want to plug anything beside or maybe your social media?
Well, people should go to cbbworld.com and get the Maximus plan, and you can hear all kinds of
Gonzo
podcasts.
For Gunsmoke.
Hell yeah.
Close enough. Bananas for Bonanza is on there, as well as other various other podcast things happening there. That's what you should do.
Stupid for Stagecoach.
These are all good shows.
Searching for the Searchers.
Riotous for the Rifleman.
The Rifleman, that's the one I was thinking of.
Chuck Connors.
The Rifleman.
I've never seen any of those.
Can you imagine that as a show today? The Machine Gun Guys. Keep being human.
Improv for Humans with Matt Besser is an Airwolf production. Produced by Britt Morris and Renee Colvert. Engineered by Britt Morris. Music by Dragoon. Find our latest merch at budswag.com. Help get the word out by telling a friend about the show today. Make sure to rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. Want more? Find the full archive, ad-free episodes, as well as original premium series from Matt and Brett on Stitcher Premium, like Estates of Perfection. Use promo code Estates for a 1 month free trial. For photos, show notes, and more, go to earwolf.com.